Blog Talk Radio.
Bendito Deus e Pai, glorificamos por mais este dia, por estarmos na Tua presença com saúde, com alegria, para invocar o Teu nome, para Te servir em espírito e em verdade, que este programa possa alcançar todos os Teus propósitos, possa os Teus objetivos, Senhor, serem alcançados em cada vida que estiver presente para ouvir as palavras daquilo que vai ser aqui ministrado, Senhor. Possam as Tuas ovelhas ser verdadeiramente alimentadas pelo Teu Espírito. Toda a glória e honra sejam dadas ao Cordeiro que se entregou por nós na cruz do Calvário. que o nome de Yeshua, Jesus Cristo, esteja sendo glorificado, acrescentado em cada vida que estiver ouvindo e ainda for ouvir posteriormente este programa. Faça o teu povo, Senhor, sair iluminado pelo teu Espírito Santo, que a tua graça baste a cada vida, nas suas necessidades, naquilo que precisam da tua graça, da tua orientação, a tua provisão, a tua direção, Senhor. Possamos ser instrumentos nas tuas mãos, que o teu reino saia acrescentado e as trevas diminuídas após este programa em cada vida. Em nome e para a glória de Jesus. Amém. Amados, mais uma vez agradecemos pelo vosso tempo, pela vossa disponibilidade para ouvir este programa. Hoje temos um convidado muito especial para nós, o nosso querido irmão, amigo e guerreiro em Cristo, Will Rogers, estará connosco para ministrar um pouco daquilo que aprendeu na sua caminhada com o Senhor, uma caminhada que se fez da vida para a morte, nascido, destinado a conhecer o lado oculto desta guerra invisível, mas pela graça e misericórdia de Deus, encontrou o único caminho que conduz à salvação, à vida eterna, à verdadeira vida. Ele estará connosco hoje para ministrar um pouco dessa sua jornada, nos ensinar como em certas alturas tão difíceis, naqueles vales profundos, Jesus Cristo aparece-nos nesse caminho quando as nossas forças se esgotam, para nos tirar dessa situação e para nos apontar o verdadeiro caminho, as soluções que Ele mesmo prepara para o seu povo. Ele estará connosco após o louvor, também para responder, atender a questões, a dúvidas que queiram pôr. Podem ligar para o programa ou podem fazê-las através do chat room. Estejam à vontade. Estaremos ministrando também em inglês para o povo que se tem chegado a esta caravana rumo à eternidade com Cristo, que não fala português, que só fala em inglês. Por isso, solicitamos a vossa paciência, que possa o Espírito Santo abundar em cada um de nós, em todas as suas virtudes, para que toda a família, todo o exército, saia acrescentado mais este programa. Este é o nosso desejo. Convidamos-nos a permanecer connosco, também a Deus, nos próximos minutos, em nome e para a glória do Senhor Jesus. Amém. And brothers and my sisters, welcome again to our program. This is a special program that we have invited our dearly brother, our great warrior called Brother Will Rogers. He came from a long journey on his life. He has great lessons that he learned to share with us. Tonight he will provide us a little bit more of his knowledge to answer, if you wish, to your doubts, to your questions, to pray for you in your fights against the darkness. If you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling that your strength is over, that you are going to surrender, that the enemy is stronger than you, don't give up. We are here tonight to share a little bit of our struggles, our fights, our victories in the Lord in our lives, to bring you encouragement to still fight, keep fighting for your soul, for your families, for your loved ones. No matter what is the fight you have tonight, no matter how deep you went, it only matters that if you hear the voice of your shepherd, not me, that's not Brother Willie, that's the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, that is saying, raise up. Why are you down? Raise up. You think that you are the only one who has passed on this valley? I am the one who deal with my sons, who send them to the desert, who send them to the valley of despair, to learn to depend only from me. Without being on the valley, you never know how good is it to be in the top of the mountain. So I invited you to stay, to worship our God, to open your heart, to share your troubles. If you want to call to the show, that's the number you can see there. Just need to call, it's free. Just wait until I bring you to the show. Or if you prefer, you can ask and make your question here on the chat room. Stay blessed, my brother and my sister. You are welcome here. Don't be shy. Join the caravan and let's worship first our great God, our great Father. And after, we will bring Brother Will to share a little bit more of his life to us. In Jesus' name, I invite you to stay, to worship, and to rejoice on the grace of our Lord.
Santo de Deus dizendo, é certo, ele vem. lava as tuas vestes no sangue do Cordeiro, prepara a tua vida, ele vem. Ele é Yeshua, Filho de Deus. Ele é Yeshua, Rei das Nações. Ele é Yeshua, Verbo de Deus, Senhor dos Senhores, Rei dos Reis, Rei da minha vida.
Yeah. Do inimigo te libertar. chora Israel. Babilônia não é teu lugar.
Fue más claro que la luna, en mí no quedaron dudas. Fue una clara aparición, me ha saltado el corazón cuando te vi. Ayer te vi, después de buscarte tanto, antes de salir el sol y pedirte que me dejes ver tu rostro en oración. Ayer te vi en un niño de la calle, sin un lugar para dormir. Te vi en sus manos extendidas, pidiendo pan para vivir. Te vi en sus ojos suplicantes y en su sonrisa titubeante. Ayer te vi en un cuarto de hospital, en soledad te vi llorar. Te vi en el rostro atribulado de un enfermo desahuciado, sin esperanza de vivir, cansado de tanto sufrir. Ayer te vi, ayer te vi. Fue más claro que la luna, en mí no quedaron dudas. Fue una clara aparición, me ha saltado el corazón cuando te vi. Ayer te vi, después de buscarte tanto, antes de salir el sol y pedirte que me dejes ver tu rostro en oración. Ayer te vi en un niño de la calle, sin un lugar para dormir. Te vi en sus manos extendidas, pidiendo pan para vivir. Te vi en sus ojos suplicantes y en su sonrisa titubeante. Ayer te vi en un cuarto de hospital, en soledad te vi llorar. Te vi en el rostro atribulado de un enfermo desahuciado, sin esperanza de vivir, cansado de tanto sufrir. Ayer te vi, ayer te vi. Te disfrazas y te escondes de mi vista, pero ayer te vi, ayer te vi. I don't know how.
On this day, all your sons, all your daughters are here. You have the answer with our action, the provision that you prepared for each one of his questions, of his doubts, of his problems. I ask you in Jesus' name that you use us as a body to help each other. Your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, flew through us to bring all the provision you prepared, that we all, at the end of this program, will rejoice with your provision, with your grace upon all of our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. I think that we have Brother Will on the line now. Brother Will, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, my brother. I sure can. The honor and the privilege
hey,
to be with
how
you
are
again,
you?
Jose. Doing great,
I'm
my brother.
Very happy.
Doing great. How about yourself?
Very happy to have you here again. You know that you belong to the house. So, my brother, this is a program that God put in our hearts to do, because He has put His own Spirit in our hearts. And when we have the Holy Spirit in us, we have the will not to look only for our problems, our lives, but we have the will of the Lord in us, that is to help, with the experience that God gave us in our life, with the fights, the victories, and the tears, to provide to the others the solutions of their lives. That's why He rescues our lives from the darkness. So I know that you have a great heart for the people of God. You have a lot to share with us. So I'm going to let you conduct the program, okay? And I see some question on chat room or if someone calls to the show, I will warn you, okay?
Amen, brother. That sounds great.
Okay, so please take us to the place God will guide you.
Amen. Thank you again so much, Brother Jose, for having me on your show and on your program. And thanks to all the listeners for tuning in, for everyone in the chat room who's taking time out of your busy day and your busy schedule to spend time with myself and, more importantly, with the Holy Spirit, with the Ruach, with the Set Apart One, as we continue to be led. The Holy Spirit always leads and guides. It never manipulates or controls. Let me say that again.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit leads and guides. It never, ever manipulates or controls. I was reading, listening to or watching some of the comments in the chat room about, you know, being in a controlling environment. The number one agenda of the Luciferian or the demonic realm or the fallen agenda or the fallen star is authoritative. Totalitarianism. Totalitarianism is an environment like the military where there is only one way. You have no faith. And the enemy wants to create that type of environment because that leads to oppression. That oppression leads to depression. That depression leads to recession, and then that recession leads to depression. I throw in recession because of the age and the time that we live in. Now we're starting to see more of a monetary effect of the demonic spirit. The demonic agenda now is starting to get into the monetary system, into our politics. And so we're not only seeing it in our food, in our water, and in our medicine. Oppression to depression. Depression leads to possession. So the enemy wants to put you into a controlling con troll. Con, again, means to swindle. Troll means large, clumsy demon. And so when we talk about the subject today, which is one of the most important subjects for me, because I was in that environment. For most of the people who don't know my testimony, I was raised in a cult. I was raised in an environment where, as a child, I was beaten. This lady had a metal pipe wrapped in black tape, and she would beat us as children, and we were forced to fast or go without food for, on average, anywhere from 3 to 10 days at a time. And we would walk in circles and make these chants or say these prayers. And I would see things. This individual would conjure up things that looked like deer, but they was real hairy. She used to call them Barbie dogs or something. It was like a llama. And this animal I haven't seen before or after. And there was a lot of other things that went on in this environment. But the number one thing that people must understand is the environment was oppressive, and the person that was doing the oppression was in a position of authority. And so no matter what position you're in right now, how do you communicate with God in that environment? How do you get in contact with the Ruach, with the Pneuma, with the Set Apart One when you are in the demonic hierarchy? How did Daniel get in contact with God when he was in the lion's den? How did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego get in contact with God when they were in the fiery furnace? How did Moses get in contact with God when his back was up against the Red Sea? And how did Samson, we can go on, we can read Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, and we go through that entire chapter of Hebrews chapter 11. It says something profound in Hebrews chapter 11. And again, I'm not going to, you know, sit here and try to read, but for all of the listeners in your quiet time, when you have an opportunity, read the Faith Hall of Fame. Now, I've done a 10-hour series that's available on my Blog Talk channel, and you can listen to that message for free, because in that is the secret. That's not a secret. And the most important thing that we must understand, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so I want to jump into Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 1, and I want to give the listeners something that regardless of where you're at, you are always in contact with God, and God is always in contact with you. So, brother, do you want to update before we jump into Hebrews chapter 11?
Yes. I was saying this, my brother, that we must update, because it's a lot of information, and then I ended to miss something. So it's better to update from time to time, you see. And meanwhile, while I am updating, I would like to invite you, my brother, to put your link of your site here from your Blog Talk Radio 2. And later we will be talking about your projects, okay? But while I am going to update, please give us your link, okay, on the chat room.
Okay, brother.
Meus amados, o irmão Willy está conosco, precisamente para nos ajudar a entender como encontrar o caminho para Deus nas situações em que parece que a escuridão, as trevas já nos escapam, né, que já não temos saída. Quantos de nós já não experimentamos essas situações, esses vales da sombra da morte, nós temos que hoje recordar que se Deus nos libertou, é para que hoje possamos ajudar os outros que estão na mesma situação. É desejo de Deus que nenhum dos seus pequeninos perca. E há muitas ovelhas presas nessas armadilhas do inimigo. Seja em ambientes familiares, sejam em congregações ou falsas congregações cristãs, sejam em religiões que não conduzem a Cristo, seja no pecado deste mundo, nos vícios. Há situações que realmente crescem de tal maneira na nossa vida que nós, por vezes, sozinhos já não conseguimos sair delas. E é nessas situações que o inimigo está mais em cima de nós, nos impedir de encontrar o caminho. E é nessas situações também que devemos ir aos seus anjos. Recordando a sua própria vida, não é? Como ele nasceu num ambiente já foi contrário à sua salvação, não é? Uma mãe divorciada que procurou refúgio numa suposta igreja, acreditou numa congregação que era dirigida por um determinado casal e veio-se a descobrir mais tarde que o casal servia dois senhores, não é? Eram mercenários, não eram verdadeiramente servos. Serviam na igreja e por trás eram ocultistas e oprimiram de tal maneira aquela família que quem pagou foi ele e os seus irmãos. Né? E tudo foram ensinados a detestar o Deus da Bíblia, desde torturas psicológicas, até que quem estava, os poderes que estavam por trás desta arquitetura toda, conduziu inclusivamente a sociedades secretas, de onde mais tarde Deus o tirou, graças a Deus. E hoje ele serve a sua própria vida de exemplo para ver quão escuro pode ser o nosso caminho, mas que há solução. Foi o mesmo Deus que o livrou, foi o Deus que abriu o Mar Vermelho quando Moisés clamava a Deus, onde é que eu vou agora? Deus diz-lhe uma mensagem, olha, porque estás parado, diz ao povo, marche para onde? E Deus diz, estenda a tua vara. E o mar se abre, não é? Ali também Daniel e os seus amigos na Babilónia, como é que eles encontraram o caminho para caminhar com os leões, com a fornalha. Então, se vocês hoje pensam que estão lançados na fornalha, que estão rodeados de leões, e que já não há solução para si, realmente não há. Você não tem solução. Mas há um Deus que pode trazer a solução se você estiver disposto a ouvir, buscar e pôr em prática aquilo que Deus lhe mostrar. O que Deus vai falar consigo, seja através de um irmão, seja através de um sonho, seja até mesmo ao seu entendimento, ao seu coração, de repente vai-se fazer luz. E se você tiver fé, como um grão de mostarda, essa montanha vai ser lançada no mar. Amém? Então, nós vamos continuar a falar com o irmão Willy, porque prepara a sua vida. Há solução para o seu caso. Okay? Há solução. Pode não ser aquela que a sua carne deseja, mas é aquela que vai trazer solução para a sua carne e para o seu espírito. Vai libertar a sua alma de uma vida infeliz. Then, brother, please, it's updated now. Please go on.
Amen, brother. And we see in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, I think I counted about like 7 or 8 times where it says by faith. So we read in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is a substance. Then it says something very profound because it says the evidence of things not seen. So Hebrews 11:1 tells us now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:2 says, for by it, by this thing that we can't see, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Then it goes on and lists these, and we see in Hebrews 11:4, by faith Abel. Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch. Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah. Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham. And then Hebrews 11:9, by faith Jacob sojourned. Hebrews 11:11, through faith Sarah. Then it skips down a couple of verses. And then it says, Hebrews 11:17, by faith Abraham. So we see all of this was accomplished by faith. And different people describe the definition of that word faith differently. But if you look in the original text and you pull it up, there's a Greek word, pistis. And as you know, brother, on all of my shows, I do what I call didactic teaching. And so I break down the definitions of these words. So the word pistis is the first Greek word that we see. It means a strong conviction of the truth of a thing. It means a strong conviction. So can I convict you of being you? If I followed you around in secret, can I convict you of being a Christian or being a believer? Is there enough evidence to convict you of the crime of being a believer? Or if I followed you around, do I see things that are not or that does not line up with your belief system? Now, the second Greek word is the Greek word pitho. So we see the word pistis, then we see the word pitho, P-A-T-H-O. And that word pitho is a Greek word that means to be induced by words to believe, tranquilize, and to persuade. And so there's some more Greek words, but for the sake of time, those, it's pistis, pistuo, and pitho. Those three Greek words make up the English word faith. It means a strong conviction that one has that is the result of hearing words. These words actually tranquilize your fear, your doubt, and your unbelief. It moves you into a position of being persuaded to believe what the Word of God says. So the way that you communicate with God, brother, the way that I got out of my mental illness, my mental dis-ease, the way that I came out of all of my physical dis-ease and illnesses that I was given was getting into the Word of God, not from someone else's point of view or by listening to someone else, but by digesting the Word of God myself, by studying to show myself approved. So the Holy Spirit led me, the Holy Spirit guided me to different books, people, to different subjects, to different things of study that allowed me to be persuaded to believe. Anytime someone is suffering from any kind of illness, it means that there need to be, that individual needs to be persuaded by the Word of God to believe. And that's the first step, and we'll continue once you update.
Okay. I want to energize this idea with the situation that I myself have lived in my life, because there is a dear sister here on the chat room called Sweetie that she has like a life that is, she's feeling like surrounded with the enemy's power, you see. And I want to energize this about your definition of faith. Because for those that know me, I got a divorce before I found my blessing from God. I, at the age of 24 years, 20 years now, I have 44 now, I decided I would marry on, I had a bride, and we were going to marry on the church, Catholic church. Meanwhile, he entered my life and showed me the Bible, showed me the truth, and I decided I would marry on the church. So, because of this, I lost my bride. I had to change my life, and I wait until the age of 33 to find one that was supposedly my promise of God. It was not. It was my fast. I was tired of waiting, and I married with the wrong person. It seems the blessing, but it was not. So it cured that marriage. Cured 6 years, the number of pregnancy. That was a human project. So finally, at the age of 43, I found the real bride that God was preparing for me. So I just want to energize this, because sometimes build wrong, love the wrong foundation. And we think that there are no more things for us to be had. I want you to know that faith is for that situation that Brother Will is saying, is speaking. We don't need to have too much faith when everything is okay. Faith is the provision of God from the Word of God, from Jesus. It's a power that comes only from God to our lives for this situation, for the impossible situation. And faith is the strong conviction of the things that we don't see, not for those that we see. For sweetie, I encourage you to enter in the state of faith. This faith, this definition that Brother Will is saying, you have defined your problems. You have your problems around you. Your son is sick. Your husband doesn't understand you, doesn't help you enough. So the only way you have to overcome this situation and do not become possessed by the spirit that the enemy wants to possess in your life is to enter in the dimension of the faith, not by imagining, not by meditating, but only by faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, blessed are those who do not see and believe. If you need to see first the changes in your life to believe, you will never operate by faith. You will never receive by faith. You are negotiating your situation with the enemy. You are trying to make your own. But by faith, you must believe and keep in your heart this. The only thing you have to defend yourself, it's your mind and your heart. And God will do the changes in all the environment. God will do the change by faith, by your faith, in the illness of your son, in the mind of your husband. And even if it's necessary, you will change all your life if you believe that it's possible. So, I'm going to update this. I want you to meditate this, because faith is the power that God gave us to the invisible and the impossible situation. That's my definition of faith, that it's in agreement with the definition of Brother Will. That will change your life. That will first change your inside, and then you'll see the results outside. I'm going to update Brother Will, then we will go on this matter, okay?
Amen, brother.
Amen. O irmão Will estava agora falando sobre a definição de fé. Há muita definição de fé por aí. Mas escavando na palavra de Deus e nos termos gregos, sobre, por exemplo, no livro de Hebreus, que fala de fé, fé, não é pela fé. Escavando nos tempos gregos, aprofundando-se no grego, o que o irmão Willy contou, a fé é a capacidade de alterar a pessoa, provocando-lhe uma forte convicção daquilo que não se vê. Ou seja, é um estado, é um poder que opera através de Deus, somente através da palavra de Deus, na sua própria vida, primeiro a partir do seu interior, para depois modificar o seu exterior. A fé é a certeza das coisas, aquilo que não se vê. Jesus mesmo falou que bem-aventurados aqueles que creem sem ver. Então, a nossa grande luta é a luta pela fé. Para não perdermos essa fé. É precisamente nas situações mais difíceis que nós pomos, Deus nos põe à prova a nossa fé. A nossa fé, a provisão que Deus dá, o poder de Deus, é para ser usado nessas situações. Foi isso que fez com que você já viu o mico que era ele escrever e o mar não se abrir? Mas eu ter fé diante daquele povo, diante daquele perigo todo, a estender. Mas eu sabia que era esse o plano. Você não sabe qual é o seu plano. Você não sabe qual é a solução que Deus tem para a sua vida. Aqueles amigos de Daniel foram lançados na fornalha dizendo, se ele quiser o nosso Deus nos livrar, ele nos livrará. Mas fica sabendo ao rei que não dobraremos os joelhos diante do estado. Sabendo se Deus tão pouco iria os livrar. Nem nós temos como. A verdade é que Deus os liberta e evitar deles serem lançados na fornalha. Mas Deus queria dar uma lição, não somente a eles, mas a todos que estavam ali presentes. Dali para a frente, os homens começaram a olhar para o Deus dos cativos de uma forma diferente. Porque viram que o anjo de Deus, há quem diga até que era o próprio Senhor Jesus, que estava lá na fornalha com eles. Então, fé é forte convicção. Quando você se encontra no limite e já esgotou todos os seus recursos, você vira-se para Deus e diz, ok, Senhor, agora eu tenho que crer sem ver. Eu não sei como é que eu saio daqui, mas eu vou sair porque diz que aquele que crê, mesmo não vendo, pode lançar montanhas. Então, fé é isto. Você está centrado no problema, você está sendo roubado. Você não se centra no problema. Centre-se no Deus que está por cima, que já tem uma solução para o problema. Vai transformar esse problema em bênção, em lição de vida. E você vai ver como a solução está na fé, nesse Deus. Está em lançar sobre ele esse fardo. Amen, brother, please go on.
Amen, brother. You know, we could sit here and I could, you know, throw some, you know, fancy words and talk exegesis and get all deep and metaphysical, or we could just cut straight to the chase and destroy the yoke and the bondage of the enemy at the source. I posted two scriptures in the chat room, Jeremiah 31:33, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3. In Jeremiah 31:33, the scripture reads, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, that after these days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." 2 Corinthians 3:3 in the New Testament says, "You show that you are a letter from Christ." The result of our ministry, whether not with ink, but with spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And so the sister in the room that's in that situation that she's going through, and for every listener out there that's listening to this message and listening to my voice, whatever situation you're in, your answer is written inside of your heart. It's written in your DNA. God has placed himself inside of you. We have this treasure hidden in earthen vessels. What is this treasure? Christ in you, the hope of glory. The fullness of God dwells bodily in Christ. When you became a part of his administration. When you accepted him into your heart and into your mind, if that was a true, authentic conversion, and you are not suffering from a counterfeit conversion, there are many believers today, brother, as you know, because you've heard some of my shows, and you know I talk about modern-day demon possession. All of this turning over chairs and shouting, all of that is demonstrating. That's demonstration. Yeah. That's movement. That's animization. God is spirit. Those that worship him must worship him, must work for him in spirit, not in demonstration.
Right.
And so God, if he was here right now, what language would he speak? See, the problem that I have, brother, the problem that I have with the church and with most of the people that I counsel and that I minister to on a daily basis, they are waiting for a word from God, which God has already placed his word in them. And so you have everything that you need for life and godliness, past tense. He already gave it to you, but you don't believe it, just like me. When I was in my, married for 25 years. I cheated on my wife on my wedding day, every day thereafter. I abused her. I misused her. I treated her worse than most people treat their own pet. And people ask me this. I was a minister preaching on Sundays, and I was cheating, lying, stealing because I had a form of godliness, but I had no power. I had a counterfeit conversion. I was a counterfeit Christian. I was a Christian Satanist because I had a Luciferian mindset because I had the law of Thelema operating in my blood. Thelema is a Greek word that means will or intention. Everyone listening to this show that's promoting your own dream, your own agenda, your own book, your own tape, your own ministry, that is Luciferian. Now, I know you're going to sugarcoat it. You're going to lie to yourself the same way I did. And you're going to tell yourself that, well, I'm doing it for God. I'm doing it for the kingdom. You see, brothers and sisters, the enemy knows you better than you know yourself. We are led astray by the lust of our own flesh. The enemy know that I was starved for attention as a child, and I was willing to do anything to get attention, even though I was using the Bible and I had a collar on and I was preaching on Sundays. I was promoting my own will. Show me in the scripture where you find Jesus Christ promoting his will. Show me in the scripture where you find Jesus Christ promoting his dream. I can't find it.
Right.
Jesus said, I'm here to do my Father's will. He laid down his life for his sheep. And that, my brother and my sister, is that many believers, myself included, just like it says in James, admit, we're asking to reap it upon ourselves. And so we must go back to the beginning and make sure that our conversion was not counterfeit. Because the churches today are promoting a counterfeit gospel by a counterfeit Christ because the enemy has transformed himself into an angel of light, and he's transformed his minions, his demons, into ministers of righteousness.
My brother, you said so much in so few time. You have touched on the major, that's what I think is the major problem of modern gospels. The problem is the people are being, most of the people are being deceived on these fake gospels of these times, because they are learning to be dependent of one of each other, of one great man of God, of the pastor or a prophet that brings the solution to their lives. When Jesus never teach this, Jesus said that we are all brothers and one only is our master. So the solution for each one life must be in first time in the intimacy with the Holy Spirit, in those things that the Holy Spirit will bring first to your inside. It comes from inside, where Jesus lives in you, from your heart, from your spirit. That's the temple of Jesus Christ. That's the temple of the new alliance. It's your body, it's your heart. I want to energize this with a practical example. There were some situations in my life with health of my family, to die on the year 2000, and I was feeling so helpless. I was without strong. I was without forces to continue. And in that situation, the only thing it was missing, it was the faith in me. And I didn't knew it. The problem was in me. The problem was in me, because I was looking for the answer in the wrong places. I would go to the church to hear a word from God. I went to the church to accept the advice of other men, because I was taught like this. I was taught that they are anointed, not me. They are special from men. You know what? They didn't change my life. Their advices only make it worse, because they couldn't take my cross. Not because they were bad. A lot of them, they have good words, they have good intentions, but it didn't solve. God wants me to teach me something with my fights, with my struggles. He wants to teach me to trust in Him, to depend only in Him. But first He let me look on other sites, on other gospels, on other places beside Jesus Christ. And when all failed, that's when God said, now I'm going to show you. Now I'm going to give you bigger lesson you can learn that depend only from myself, not even for yourself. You will learn how to depend only on my grace. And that's when, miraculously, the same problems around me, nothing changed. I start awakening in the morning with a peace, an incomprehensible peace inside of my being. And I was amazed. How can it be? My father is in the hospital. My mother is in the hospital. I am alone. I don't know the day, what I have to do. I'm going to spend all my life taking care of the others. I will not have my own life. I have no time for nothing, for fun, for nothing. I am a young man, and I'm losing my life here. Suddenly, I had peace with all the same problems around me. I was rejoicing. And the only conclusion that I had to do is, this is faith. This is the power of God. God is in control. This is supernatural relationship with the Holy Spirit. It didn't come from the man. It didn't come from church. It didn't come from papers. It came from the Holy Spirit. The bigger lesson is to depend, rest completely, deliver our problems in the hands of our God. But the devil doesn't want you to believe. That's why he surrounds you. That's why he surrounds you, scream, touch you, because he doesn't want you to resignate on the frequency of God. He wants you to operate in despair, fear, and not believe in the impossible. Because our God is the God of the impossible. So this is what I want to energize to Sweetie. Resist. That's what the word says. When he says, you are nothing, that's what you want me to believe. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I am a doctor of the Lord of Lords. And he, not me, he will change everything. And I will laugh on your face, Satan, fallen angel. I will laugh and I will teach you that when God changed the sickness of my son, the mind of my husband, all things to change will be changed, but I will be the last one to laugh. This is what I want you to know, that you're not alone, you're not the first, and you will not be the last one to be surprised. But there's a common phrase here in Portugal that says, I don't know if it's said in English, but I'm going. The dog that makes too much noise, it doesn't bite, just makes noise. That's the devil. Just use the wisdom, the spiritual wisdom. The devil knows that we are weak. But he doesn't want you to know that the God that is in you is stronger than him. That's the goal of Satan. He makes noise for you don't look to Jesus. He puts you looking for yourself because you are weak. But you don't need to fall on this trap. Take it to the Lord. He is the one who changed the life of a woman who said inside of her, I touch only the shirt of him, I will be healed. And she had lost all in medicine, and nothing. But she heard the voice inside of her. That's what you need to hear. Not the voice of your husband. You don't need to despair with the situation of your son. You just need to say, like that woman, if I touch him, if I hear, if I believe that he is bigger than my mountain, this mountain will become a valley full of good fruit for me and for other ones. Amen. Meus irmãos, acerca de como lidar com situações impossíveis. Temos uma irmã na nossa sala de conversação que tem um filho que carece de tratamentos especiais, que eles completamente dependentes, já com alguma idade, mas continuam completamente dependentes. E a situação arrasta-se, começando a sinais de saturação, de incompreensão. Ela está cada vez mais sentindo, ouvindo as vozes que não deve ouvir, sentindo-se cada vez mais avançada com a situação. Nós estamos vendo que ela não é a primeira nem a última pessoa que se sente assim. Estivemos falando de algumas situações aqui, inclusive a nossa caminhada com Deus, mas queremos salientar a questão da fé. A fé que levou aquela mulher na Bíblia a dizer para ela mesma, sem ninguém ouvir. Já depois de ter gasto todos os recursos com médicos, com todas as situações, estava ali passando e ela ouviu uma voz dentro dela. E ela ouviu e decidiu seguir, fazer fé nessa voz. Decidiu não somente crer, mas descansar sobre essa direção que estava recebendo. Se eu tão somente tocar nas orlas do vestido dele, eu serei curado. E a cura foi de tal maneira manifesta que fez Jesus parar. Jesus parou porque sentiu a virtude sair dele. O poder que estava sobre Cristo, o poder do Espírito Santo, manifestou-se de tal maneira que Jesus sentiu. Sentiu que tinha havido ali uma transferência de vida. E quis que ela se apresentasse. E aquela mulher, pela fé, por ter de descansar naquela frequência que estava recebendo dentro dela, recebeu uma cura que mais ninguém. Meus amados, eu fui uma vítima deste falso evangelho de congregação e dízimos que está por aí espalhado. Nós somos ensinados por este evangelho a depender dos homens, das congregações dos homens, das boas vontades dos homens, das unções dos homens, a pagar inclusivamente para que Deus nos continue abençoando. Eu ia para a igreja para receber uma solução, para receber uma direção vinda do ungido. Era assim, um eterno paralítico. Eu ia para a congregação e ai de mim que eu apresentasse uma solução que não passasse pela hierarquia. Era automaticamente taxado de rebelde. Mas porquê? Porque este é o sistema satânico, piramidal. Não tem nada a ver com cruz, não. Deus salvou-te a ti, salvou-me a mim para se relacionar intimamente contigo. A solução para os seus problemas passa em primeiro lugar por você não decidir ouvir mais ninguém a não ser primeiro a voz do Espírito Santo. E ele se manifesta dentro de ti. O irmão Willy pôs dois versículos aqui no chat room que são evidentes que este é o propósito da nova aliança. Escreverei as minhas leis no seu coração. Não mais com tinta, mas farei uma nova aliança com o meu povo. Então, se você continua dependente da aprovação dos homens para resolver os seus problemas, você nunca vai resolvê-los. Porque nenhum homem consegue levar a sua cruz por muito boas intenções até que tenha. Cada um vai ter que levar a sua cruz e nós só podemos ajudar a carregar a cruz dos outros. Você tem que aprender a relacionar-se individualmente e intimamente com o Espírito Santo, a decidir ouvir apenas essa voz. Porque se você vai ouvir a voz do cão que ladra à nossa volta, desse leão que busca a quem possa tragar, que nos desumaniza, que nos desmoraliza, que procura nos deprimir ao ponto de nos conseguir oprimir e possuir, se for possível, você não vai resolver os seus problemas. Você vai andar num estado de depressão e andar numa frequência de desânimo, de miséria de vida, e nunca vai andar na frequência da voz de Deus. A solução passa por uma intimidade com o seu espírito, que você tem que pedir a Deus que crie com o seu espírito. Eu aprendi isso em situações dramáticas. Pessoas da minha família a correrem riscos de vida. E eu isolado, sem saber o que fazer, a igreja não podia dar solução. Eles não são Deus. Mas eu ia lá, hoje Deus vai falar comigo sobre isso. Às vezes até parecia que falava, mas não era nada. Foi quando tudo se esgotou, todos esses recursos meio humanos, meio ungidos, né? E se esgotaram, que Deus começou a operar dentro de mim. De repente, no meio daquele caos todo, comecei a acordar com paz. E a dizer, está tudo... Eu sabia que dentro de mim estava tudo debaixo do controle de Deus. Mas foi preciso perder a esperança em tudo o resto. Igrejas e religiosidades e rituais e promessas e dízimos e tudo isso. É aí que Deus começou a mexer por dentro. Agora já sabes onde é que tu me encontras. Eu estou dentro de ti. Os problemas são os mesmos, mas tu tens paz. Como é que ela veio? Através da fé, que é poder de Deus. Aquela tal forte convicção que muda as circunstâncias. E é aí que é o reino de Deus. Jesus disse que só um era nosso mestre, o resto é tudo irmãos. Como é que a gente vai pôr a fé, a solução dos nossos problemas numa congregação ou num homem, por muito bom que ele seja? Você vai confiar no meu ministério para resolver os seus problemas? O mais certo é você ir mais depressa para o buraco. Porque eu, às vezes, não tenho solução para mim, tenho que confiar em Deus. Quanto mais eu ser a solução para os outros, ou eu saber que está em mim, não está em mim. Agora, eu até posso ser usado, mas eu não lhe posso garantir que vou ser usado sempre que você precisa, não. E se Deus tiver outros planos, se Deus tiver outras lições para lhe dar? Então, a única coisa que eu lhe posso dizer é: aprenda a criar uma relação íntima com o Espírito Santo, porque é lá que ele habita, no seu coração. Deus começou por mudar o meu estado. O problema estava em mim. Primeiro em mim. Primeiro ele mudou-me a mim. E depois ele transformou as circunstâncias. As montanhas foram parar aos mares. Eu já perdi o meu pai. Mas nem a morte dele me assusta, porque sei. Recebi consolo, confirmações, sei onde é que ele está e que o irei encontrar novamente. É isto que você tem que procurar viver aqui. O mais rapidamente possível. E dizer na cara do inimigo: não te vou ouvir a ti, não vou ouvir os teus gritos, não vou ouvir os teus rumores, não vou aceitar as tuas sugestões para eu pecar, para eu perder confiança no meu Deus. Não vou confiar tão pouco em mim. Vou confiar naquele que diz: bem-aventurado os que não veem e creem. Aquela mulher que se curou do fluxo de sangue foi a bem-aventurada, porque creu antes do milagre acontecer. E fez Jesus parar e dar-lhe um elogio. Willie, are you there yet?
Amen, brother.
And please, we are updated here. We have 33 minutes.
Amen, brother. We can, if there's any specific questions, if anyone has a question, we can definitely answer specific questions. I just want to leave with one last scripture there in Jeremiah 31:34, and it's very, very important for us to understand when we're talking about how we operate in the wilderness, basically. How do we, when we are in the lion's den, if we're in the fiery furnace, if we're in the belly of the whale, what is our mindset? What is our mentality? We don't have time to go and find a teacher or a preacher or a reverend or a doctor or a bishop. You don't need another teacher or a preacher. All you need is your head and your heart, because the scripture says that God placed something there. He placed something in your head and in your heart. So we got four chambers of our heart that represent the four gospels. We have a neocortex in our brain. The word neo means new. The word cortex means covering, covenant. So we have three layers of our brain, the neocortex, which means new, the paleocortex, which means old, and the reptile or the reptilian cortex. So we can operate. Whenever we operate in fear, according to every scientist and doctor on the planet, when you operate in fear, doubt, and unbelief, you activate the amygdala and the hypothalamus, and you disconnect the neocortex. So that means that when you operate in fear, your body produces a chemical, adrenaline and adrenochrome in the body, and it disconnects the new covenant, the new cortex, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, Yahushua.
Yeah.
So you can't operate in your head and in your heart with reason and logic. So now you are on fight or flight. You are operating according to the reptile or the reptilian brain. So we can also look at scripture. And the scripture tells us in Jeremiah 31:34 what we need to understand. In Jeremiah 31:34, in the New King James, it read, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." So this scripture tells me that we have no need of a teacher. Now, does they help? Of course. But there isn't a need. That means that we can go, there is no more mediator between God and man save the Son, Christ Jesus. And so that's my word of encouragement to everyone listening today, is to understand that if you have an authentic conversion, if you are part of the Morningstar administration, if you've got the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright and the Morning Star, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, living inside of you, when you walk through the valley of shadow and death, you don't fear no evil. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can trample upon snakes and scorpions and all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by no means harm you. So no weapon formed against you shall prosper. All who rise up against you shall fall. So when you stand, brothers and sisters, you must stand bold. You must exercise some righteous indignation. You can't be walking around all willy-nilly, laid back, and operating in an environment or a mental disposition that isn't firm. We started off establishing the definition of the word faith, which is a strong conviction that is the result of being persuaded by hearing the word of God. Because the word of God is alive, brothers. The word of God is alive, sister. It is alive. It is powerful, more powerful than any two-edged sword. Has the ability to divide spirit, soul, joint, and marrow, and it is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So when you have the word of God, that's all you need. You can, you know, if you want to get something else, you can do it. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen. You said it all, brother. You said it all. We believe in this intention from God that is make us know him. All of us, not just a few. Not just for an elite, but the intention of our Father is to, that we grow until that that position that we can understand, hear, see what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in our life. The true teacher that God uses, they have principally two characteristics. The teacher of the king. First, they don't charge to help you. They have a heart like the Father. They don't stop until you the devil is starting to be defeated in your life. They will help you with all their strength. And they do never say, now you have to pay me because I am an anointed one and you are not. They will never make this difference to your problem. Because they have passed the same problems, that they know how good it is to have the victory. And this is the great reward that a good teacher from God has in his own relationship with God, at being useful to the king to help the brotherhood. The second condition, you can see that this person comes from God to help you, is that he never wants you to follow him. His intention is to give you the instrument to find Jesus in you. Because he knows that if you keep follow him, you are in danger. He will guide you to Jesus. He will be with you on the way until you can walk by yourself with Jesus. And like John Baptist said, the right teacher, the good teacher will say, now, Father, that I diminish and you grow in him, in her life. You understand? These are the true teachers. This is the true gospel. This is the gospel of the Bible. What we have on this modern religion called Christianity, it's the opposite. We'll make you always in the bottom of a pyramid, dependable of the man. Slave of intentions and projects of other people. You will not operate by generosity. You will not have that freedom because you have to pay. You have to pay the system. Get out of these churches. Get out of those that give you half-truths. And then they say, now give me your tithe because it's biblical. No. The true servants of God will wait and hope that God touch your heart and help them. They will never charge. And I'm not talking about books. I'm not talking about hard work that people invest. This is not what I'm talking. I'm talking about manipulating the gospel, mixing law with grace, being bigger than the king that never charged a tithe to anyone, saying that God charged a tithe to Abraham. It's a lie. It was a volunteer act of generosity of Abram to give the tithe to Melchizedek. It was a generosity from Jacob to ask the blessing of God, not because God gave him a book to say, you must pay tithe to Melchizedek, you must pay tithe to me. You can be helped by this guy, but they have second intention. They want you to make a slave on his pyramid. And in the day that you will grow bigger than them, that you will become more blessed than them, you will be a threat to their position. And if you start saying the truth about the gospel, about the manipulation, they will curse. I come from a church where it said, those who go away from this work, they say work, not church, will not take the Holy Spirit with them, as if they were the owners of the Holy Spirit. And they began with you. But that's the pride. That's what happens when we start healing and looking for ourselves. Can happen to them, can happen to you. You can go down if you start your process, if you stop your process of being humble and dependable only of Jesus Christ. The real word, logos, of God. The Bible is rhema word, but the real word, meaning, logos, the meaning of everything, the beginning and the end, logos, is Jesus, Yahushua, the son of Yahu, the God of Abraham. This is the word of God that can change your life, first inside and then the outside of your life. Can change your husband, can change your son, can change your health, can change your money, can change everything, because he is everything if you let him be. This is the real salvation, the real God. Jesus is the gospel. Jesus is the kingdom. Jesus is your solution. And you better invest in Jesus and not invest in yourself, in your what the devil says in your ear, or what the devil uses others to say to your ear. No, reject, resist them, and you will start operating in the real faith, in the real frequency, in the real word of God, the love that on Jesus Christ has for your life. Amen. My brother, we still have 20 minutes. If you want to, please share with us some of your ideas that you are trying to improve on your community. I don't call church because it's not a congregation. A group of friends, of brothers. What are the ideas that you are promoting and how to impact the life of more people? Please share with us, because it's worthy to know.
Amen, brother. As you know, I've come a long way, brother, and I've seen a lot of things. I've been a part of a lot of negative stuff. I've also been a part of a lot of positive stuff in the church and outside of the church. I've had over 45 different jobs. I've started over 23 different businesses. I've been in, I've been a part of purchasing over $1 million worth of real estate. I've saw and witnessed a community that I grew up in be destroyed by homosexuality and lesbianism and drugs. And so I've have a heart for community, because the word community is two words, the word come and unity. We know that there can be no fellowship of light and darkness. So I'm interested, brother, in networking with people of like mind to build the community of God. I want to reach out, brother and sisters, to people who were like me. See, I grew up in an era of ignorance. The scripture says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge, for a lack of gnosis. One of the biggest hurdles that I see is ignorance. Ignorance is just simply ignoring truth. So poverty is the absence of something needed. Specifically, poverty is the absence of knowledge or gnosis. Just like a pothole isn't necessarily a thing. A pothole is the absence of a thing. A pothole is the absence of dirt. So I have the Christ Consciousness Metaphysical Assembly. I have a few other businesses. I have a coffee shop and a bookstore, Eagles Investment Club. Eagles is spelled with two S's. I have a website at www.eaglesclub.com. And I am putting together 5,000 people of God, truly sold-out believers, who want to see a change and want to establish heaven on earth, just like it says in Our Father prayer. I'm not talking about materialism. I'm not talking about in trying to compete with, trying to amass a bunch of wealth and just have a big bank account. I'm talking about buying I buy real estate with no money down on what they call an AITD, an all-inclusive trust deed. I buy paper. I invest in the stock market. I buy businesses, apartment complexes, and I use that for the kingdom of God. In order to assist people who are coming out, I worked for and with the Bureau of Prisons, and I was a reentry officer. I would take prisoners, felons who have just been released from prison, and I would assist them with housing and with jobs. And so the same thing that I did for the state and for the federal government is what I do now for the kingdom of God. And what I am looking for is people who are interested in investing with me as we go out and purchase homes for the people who are destitute, people who may not be able to qualify the traditional way. We provide housing for people. The house that I'm living in now is over a four-bedroom, three-bath, over 5,000 square foot home that I purchased with no money, with no credit, because I understand it, how I understand to create win-win situations. And so if there's someone listening to this show, please go to, again, you can email me. You can go to my website at masterteacher33.com. Just click on the link that says join now to get additional information. My email address is masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. Just masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. And I know where God leads, God provides. I know that God does not give you provisions just for you. The word provisions has the word vision in it. So the word provision is the provision for the vision. So if you have provisions, God gave you those provisions for your vision. It's not for you to buy fancy cars and houses for yourself. It's for you, because when we help the least of one of these, we are actually helping God, because God lives in you. So if I help you, I'm helping God. Not that God needs help, but God wants me to show my love for him by loving you. And my organization is just simply that, and that's what we're doing. And so I encourage every listener, if you're interested, it's very, very important that you network with people of like mind. I've been a part of many organizations where there's too much infighting. We wouldn't even be having this talk today if the church was actually doing what it is designed by God to do. I've been a part of many churches that have 5,000 members that could easily have an impact in their community, but instead that money has been used for fancy cars and big houses. So we want to simplify this to make an impact in our community.
Let me try to see if I understand well. What you provide, it's a kind of counselor partnership to help the people that has money, has resources, they don't know what to do to solve their problems, what to do with their funds, and you try to gather people that are trustable, that are from the same spirit, to try to help the people to invest them in things that will give fruit in the kingdom. This is what I understand, right?
Amen, brother. That is basically it. All we do is we assist the haves and the have-nots, because there are some people, most people can afford a dollar a week. There are some people who can't. There are some people who really, really honestly in a position where they just got out of prison, or they're just coming off of drugs, or they have some situation that they're just not in a financial position. So our job is to, my goal and my job is to make sure that I never come across a man or woman of God and not be in a position to assist them if that is what the Spirit of God is telling me to do. There is sometimes that we can actually get in the way of God by helping people that God has placed in situations for their spiritual development. So what we do, brothers, is this group is an organization that we pray first before we do anything to make sure that we are being led by God to have an impact in the community. And this is worldwide, regardless of where an individual lives. We sit down. We look at, for example, apartment complexes. That's one of the things that we really, really focus on, because everyone needs a place to stay. Everyone needs food, clothing, and shelter. Organic gardens. I buy land, vacant lots here in the city, and turn it into an organic garden to actually grow food in the community for the people that can't afford to go out and buy food. So that's, those are the things that we're doing. We're just trying to do something positive in the communities that we live in. So regardless of where you live in the world, we take these funds and we assist you with finding opportunities and then funding those opportunities so that way you can use that for the kingdom.
I see, brother. I know what you are talking because I know a lot of people that come from the Lord. They have, but they are so poor that the only thing they have is money. And when they found Jesus Christ and come in so critical situations, they have money, they have houses, they are rich people in the ways of the world. But they are so poor because the devil will take everything, the more flesh than he gave them, if they don't get help with the right person, with honest people from God that will help them to manage the resources they possess. And I see that the bigger problem is that when even Christian people become so rich and they lost the great richness that is depending on Jesus Christ, they hope become the money. Without understanding, they start serving Mammon, and if their happiness starts measuring with the money they do month by month, and worse than this, they start measuring each other for the money, for the bank account they possess, to see who is more blessed, who have a big position on the pyramid, religious pyramid they belong. This is not what you are saying. This is not what you are being. You are constructing, because we, let's seriously hear, Jesus, he wants us to have a full life. Maybe you will pass some difficulties, sometimes that you don't know what you are going to eat tomorrow. But if you remain faithful, God will make you head, not tail forever. God will provide everything. God will bring his blessings that brought upon Abram. But maybe you have to pass the valley first. So what you need is real people that are beside you, teaching you, helping you to manage the times of your life. Not people that will stole your money, but will help you. And in helping you, you will help them. Because you will feel that you are with brothers, that they take care more of your life than your money. We are human beings both. We need to eat, we need to live, we need to dress ourselves. So money, it has its role to play in our life. Never substitutes Jesus Christ. But you must learn how to manage money, houses, land that God gives you. Because you better believe that what we'll never miss in our life, it's thief. The thief will never give up. And it's so slippery, so dangerous when we have some good resources, because that's the way, that's the time when we are full of friends. Not real friends, but they will appear. And you will not discern. If you don't have the Holy Spirit operating in yourself, you will not discern who are the real friends, who are the real brothers, and who are those who just want your money or your position or your fame. So what Brother Will is trying to tell you here, in learning to manage this with the right person, not giving the money to the organization or to the community, no, that's not this, but maybe your money will help another brother. that is less than you have. And in this, God will provide the health, the situation that you need to resolve in your life. This is the community. This is what happened in the first church, even in a bigger scale, right? Because they sold everything. But we're not talking about this. I think Brother Will is not talking about this. I understand by what he said that he has a lot of people that are Christians, but they are being deceived by the money because they are surrounded by bad people. They are giving bad examples. And you need to be surrounded of people that will teach you the right value of money. I am not a man that I don't say that money doesn't have its role. I need to feed myself. I need to feed my family. So I need money. But I don't depend on money. I depend on the Father that is the owner of all money. Not the devil. Father has the last word. But it's an instrument that I need while I'm here. So you can be very good. You can be a very sincere Christian. But you need knowledge to manage money and to understand how dangerous it is to have money on this world. This is what Brother Will are teaching you, are trying to understand that this is important for not to follow the wrong path, the manipulations that we all have fallen on this false gospel of money. I'm not talking about this. He's not talking about this. Nobody's going to charge you nothing by law. You just participate as yourself. And if you feel, if you ask God that those advice are good, you just follow. If you don't feel peace, you don't follow. But not by law. It's a community, not a congregation. This is what I understand.
Amen, brother. Because as you already know, money is the most dangerous thing on the planet because of the spirit that is behind it. I have a very, very healthy disregard for money. I don't like talking about it, but it's one of those things that I've been blessed and been called to do, coming out of or coming from a position of severe poverty. I grew up with no running water, no electricity, no indoor plumbing. We had an outhouse, and I'm not talking about way back in the 60s. This was in the 80s, and we grew up dirt poor because all of the funds that we had, my mom was giving to this lady or this cult. And so coming from a place of destitute, money was my God. And so I pursued mammon. My goal was to get rich. And if I had have gotten rich, brother, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And so I am so thankful that God did not answer my prayer. I am so thankful that God did not honor my wishes, and he put roadblocks to prevent me from achieving the level of success that I wanted. Because it was in that understanding, and I don't do economics. I do what is called kleronomics. And kleronomics comes from the Greek word kleronomos, which is the economics of the soul. The soul is the mind, will, emotion, imagination, and intellect. So the scripture talks about this, and this is all part of the basic understanding of, I'm not interested in money. I'm interested in people of God having self-control to live within their means, not fall victim to advertising and go out and buy a new car just because you can. If the old car works, take those funds and invest and never spend principal, only spend interest. And so it's a way of thinking that is heavenly-minded instead of earthly-minded. So it's a principle that's based upon the Word of God by living according to the principles that God gave us that's found in his Word. That's it. It has nothing to do with accumulating a bunch of stuff. It has nothing to do with buying a bunch of stuff. It has to do with living within my means and teaching other people to do the same thing. And when God gives us that overflow, we share what we learned in knowledge with our brother. And we assist our brother and our sisters in managing his household. His household is his mind, his will, his emotions, his imagination, and his intellect. By the management of your own household, that gives you an overflow in material stuff that you can actually give. Because, as you know, the creative formula is give. By giving, that's how we receive. Your giving determines what you receive. So this really, you know, when we talk about the investment group and all stuff, but people really get lost when we start talking about this because it's so important to understand the basics of the kingdom, which is give, and it shall be given unto you. That's what it's all about, giving. Mm-hmm.
And as I, if I understand on your shows, you provide the counselors, right, sessions of counselors for people.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You ask $1, right? $1 by week, right? To be disposable, completely disposable, to hear to a counselor, people that request your help. I think your advice. This is what I understand on that community.
Exactly. It's really simple, brother. We try to keep it as simple as possible. We're not interested in taking up people's time. All we're doing is we're sharing the word of God with people so that way when we meet someone, we have more than just a Bible or a word to give them if that individual is in need. We can direct them to a clothing place. We can direct them. My goal is to try to get people to understand the importance of deploying yourself instead of being employed by someone else. Because the luxury that I have is to be able to work in the ministry full-time because of the ability to be employed by myself or for myself instead of being employed by someone else who controls my time. So I allow God to control my time instead of someone else, and we try to share that with other people to assist the people of God to free up their time for ministry.
Yes, by the way, Brother Will doesn't have work. He only works on the kingdom, okay? So that's why he tries to live with $1 in a week by someone who wants to help. Well, I think we have ended our show. Hope that everyone hear what the voice of the Holy Spirit has to say. I don't know if we are live now. Brother Willie, thank you again for being with us. And I hope to see you soon on another show, okay?
Amen, brother. It was a pleasure and an honor. Thank you so much for inviting me. And thank you for all your listeners for tuning in. God bless everyone, and y'all have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Amen. You too, brother. See you later.
Amen, brother.